So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. Immediately reached out his hand and caught him. In the name of God, Creator, Sanctifier. Amen. I've now started my Olympic training, which means staying up late every night, watching the Olympics and saying, I'm going to go to bed in a few minutes, going and going every night. Why? Life, for the exclusion of many other things of a young life, school parties, school friends, school organization, pretty much their whole life is the Olympics, preparing for the Olympics in their sport. And I've been thinking about the young man named Baj, I believe his name's Baj, and he is now on the men's gymnastics team. And last Olympics, 4 years ago, he did not make the team. He missed just at the last moment by a few points and was not able to be on the team. He spent 4 years, I've seen a story about him, spending 4 years of really spiritual discernment about how he was going to prepare for this Olympics. And so the trials came, and again, he missed being on the team by just a few points, probably fractions of a point in gymnastics. But two of the famous gymnasts, the twin brother, Hans, both had to drop out, and Baj became a member of the team at the last minute. And it was amazing to see him last night, and the commentator said, he is just so centered and focused and ready to perform. He doesn't even seem nervous. I thought about that and this gospel passage this week about the disciples in the boat and Peter jumping into the water and then suddenly deciding he was afraid and beginning to sink. I think that for many of us, moments of decisions come again and again in our lives. Sometimes we have no choice. It's thrust on us immediately. But other times we have the choice, and we have time to make the choice. And so I want to talk a little bit about that in the context of this gospel passage. First of all, there's that moment of decision. Here, Peter jumps right in, but what if he had taken some time before he did that? Perhaps that wasn't an occasion that he could have, but what if he had? There's a story about in a Buddhist training center, a Buddhist retreat center actually, in Colorado, that once a group of Green Berets were invited to come and to make a 10-day silent retreat as part of their training. I don't know who was in charge of the Green Berets at that point, but bravo. But they were sent to the Buddhist retreat center for 10 days to learn how to work with their minds. It was a silent retreat. And they were instructed to sit and focus on their breath. And if their minds wandered away, to come back to the breath again. If they had an emotion, they were told simply to note it and return to the breath. They were provided 3 delicious meals a day and a comfortable place to sleep. And the center where the retreat was being held was idyllic in the mountains of Colorado. At the end of the 10 days, when these elite soldiers broke their silence, one of them said, "Man, that was the hardest thing I've ever done. My mind would not shut up. What a nightmare." These were brave men brought to their knees by having to sit quietly with themselves. Another kind of battle than they were used to, a battle of the will, of the soul. Those inner demons, a battle with those inner demons that come up for all of us at times of quiet. Demons of anger, anxiety, perfectionism, paranoia, shame, depression. They are all there when we slow down. And so rather than slow down, often in a moment of decision, we forge ahead. Sometimes we forge ahead in bewilderment. We just plow ahead, going from one day to the next, hoping not to have to slow down. But slowing down seems to be the key to making a good decision. So that's point one, that time before the decision. But But then sometimes we're pushed into the water, we're pushed into the pit like Joseph, we're pushed into a situation out of the blue, and we're in the water, and all of a sudden we realize we're afraid, even if we've made many preparations. I'm thinking particularly, I saw Peter Dunn come in, about Peter and his trial with Lyme disease and another tick-borne virus in these past weeks, of being in the hospital with people taking care of you and sometimes doing things you would rather they not do and think they probably shouldn't do, being in that water and feeling as though you're flailing, especially in your mind. I'm thinking about Steve, Denise Week's husband, who is now in ICU at GBMC with an infection, about what his mind is doing with him and what our minds do with us when we're in a place that we can't control, where we've been thrown into the water, even if it's been our decision to have surgery or to make a big choice in our life, then we find, well, it's not quite what I wanted. Now, I quite understand what it's like to be in the water because I'm someone in the hospital who stares at the IV line the whole time, wondering if there's a bubble in it that's going to kill me at any minute. And so I'm not a very good person to say that I have this wonderful focus of breath and mind on God, because I tend to flail just like Peter and just like all of us. But it seems to me that in this passage, and this is the third piece, is that Jesus is right there. And if you look at the passage, Jesus doesn't have to walk towards Peter when he cries out. He just reaches out his arm. He's that close to him. He is that close to Peter to order to touch him and to bring him back to God and back to peace and stability and security. If you think about Jesus before he did this, and some of us have to watch our family and friends flail in the water sometimes. Sometimes we are the ones watching, wanting to help so badly and not knowing what to do. But Jesus, before, when he sent the disciples in the boat, he went off on the mountain to pray. He took that moment of silence, and then he was able to stand there, knowing probably that Peter would do this. Stand there and just reach out his arm that close. I think for most of us that we're in that position where we're lying in a bed in a hospital, we're in a bad situation at work, we're in a bad situation in our family or relationships, and we don't feel that God is anywhere close. All we can see are the droughts and the curves and the crests of the waves. We can't see over them. We feel like we're drowning. And there is Jesus right there, an arm's length away. He can always be there to pick us up and to find us. Emily Dickinson has written this poem that I think captures where so many of us are in our lives, in the ocean, in the pit, in the sea. It goes like this: one need not be a chamber to be haunted. One need not be a house. The brain has corridors surpassing material place, far safer of a midnight meeting external ghost than an interior confronting that whiter host. Emily Dickinson, who spent most of her life in her own home, in her own room, venturing outside very little, knew about those inner demons, that battle of the mind and the will. And one of the things that we talked about at 8:30 that's key about that battle of the mind and is so true in Buddhist meditation is to come back to the breath in Buddhist meditation, in a Christian meditation, to God and to Jesus. One of the things that's part of my meditation practice now comes from the Buddhist tradition, but I've made it my own and God's own. When I pray and in the morning, I spend a lot of time just letting the thoughts cascade by as a Buddhist would. And then when I come back to the breath, I come back to Jesus. And whenever the gospel passage has been the past Sunday, I come back to that image. So for this week, as all the thoughts go by of homecoming Sunday, of getting the parish hall ready, of getting everything ready for Sunday school, of getting everything done, I'll let those things cascade by like a waterfall. The worries in my own life, my daughter leaving for Italy, my son in Beijing. And then I come back to the breath and to Jesus. And this week, he will be standing on the water, reaching out his hand, touching me. And whenever I feel fear and panic and anxiety, I come back to that image again and again and again. That's the only way I can do it. I hope for you that you find that same place to find Jesus and know that his arm is but an arm's length away, and he can always carry us and the ones we love, whatever may be our place that day. Amen.